This episode is brought to you by Pine Melon. Pine Melon is a next-generation grocery delivery app that partners with over 200 local farmers, ranchers, and producers in Colorado to help make fresh, locally sourced foods available to the Denver community at fair prices. And this month, Pine Melon is celebrating Earth Month by highlighting their commitment to sustainability. They keep their supply chain efficient to help reduce carbon emissions and offer same-day delivery to help reduce food waste. And as a special thanks to CityCast listeners, you can use the code CityCastDenver for $75 off your first order. That's Pine Melon, the farmer's market delivered.
Today on CityCast Denver. $5.49 per hour. That's what the average Uber or Lyft driver makes in Denver, according to a recent survey. And now, legislators are debating a new proposal that could change how drivers get paid. But we wanted to hear what is actually happening inside these cars. So we got some Uber and Lyft drivers together to speak for themselves. Today is Wednesday, February 8th, 2023. I'm Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about.
Hey guys, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Hi.
Thank you.
I'm going to have you go around and just say your name so that when listeners hear this, they know who's talking. Can you just introduce yourself?
My name is Munir Abuzewida. I'm from Libya originally, and I'm a Uber driver.
Michael Machar, original Sudanese Uber driver.
My name is Zoltan. I'm from Myanmar. They used to call Burma before.
Sure. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me. I want to start with this shocking statistic that I read recently that says Uber and Lyft drivers may only be making $5.49 per hour. How is this possible?
It's real because the algorithm they use, it's bizarre. Like, we never know what, you know, the price you're going to get every time you pick up. Like, it's below than the minimum wage.
It sounds like drastically lower than minimum wage.
Yes, it is. It is. And that's what we pick up a fight trying to defend ourselves. And also, like, the cost of living is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's getting really bad. The gas, the food, everything.
And to be honest, that's not what we signed for, you know, from the very beginning, you know? Yeah, because I was shocked when they saw that. I mean, it wasn't like this before, you know? So now we're like kind of suffering, you know? Can you imagine like working for just $5 an hour? I've never seen this since 2008 and 2009.
And you said that it was not like this before. How long have you been driving and when did you notice a change?
I've been doing this for 6 years or maybe over. And I noticed that like 3 months ago, I was sitting at the airport and then I start getting like calls and I saw the price and it's $17. Can you imagine driving 25 miles from the airport to Denver downtown and you have to deal with the traffic too because sometimes it takes like up in 1 hour, you know? And then that's just for $17 and you're still paying for gas and expenses, you know, maintenance for the car. That's unbelievable, to be honest.
Michael, Zell, what about you guys?
Yeah, I have one experience that from downtown. He finished his shift at like around like 11. I picked it on him and he's kind of upset about the Lyft charging or Lyft or Uber. I think it was like Lyft and he kind of upset and he was like, man, why is it so expensive? And I just quiet and since when I drop off, I just show how much I get paid. And he said $80 he paid and I get $16.
So he paid $80.
Yes.
And you get 16 of that. So,
yeah.
And what you're explaining, it sounds like, is you're getting frustration from your customers.
So, I don't want to respond right away because he's kind of upset.
Yeah.
And I just show him my phone screen, how much I made and how much he paid. So he know.
It's not you that's making that decision.
Yeah.
Sure. Michael, how about you?
I used to drive for Lyft and Uber for like 4 years. And every day I was just like noting that it's not real. Like the way they operate, it's so corrupt. And they use that algorithm to exaggerate, you know, the whole thing between us. and writers, you know, sometimes they use us against one another. And I was just, I have to defend myself all the time. And still I was like, you know what? Something has to be done, you know? So I start, you know, looking around. I look up some unions and I call, you know, union. I reach out. And these guys, they used to come to the parking lot. I didn't know about them. And they came and just, we start working together. Then I started mobilizing drivers, you know, Munir, everybody. And then we start letting people know what's going on. Something has to be done with, you know, with all this abusive has been done against us. And also the community, yeah, everybody is just, it's more than struggling, you know. We work every day, and no one should be working every day in America just to survive.
I would love for each of you to talk about your sort of work life. Is driving a side job? Is it your full-time job? Why do you do it? What else are you juggling in your life? Munir, do you want to start?
Yeah. Actually, I'm doing this full-time job. To be honest, I mean, I used to do it like part-time job, but before it was good money, you know? So I started like doing it full-time job, and it was like picking my own hours so I can start like early morning or do it like, you know, so I can avoid the traffic and I drive at night, you know, which is good. So after that happened, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I can't do this anymore because I feel like I'm, you know, working for free, you know, like I feel like wasting money. That's all.
Yeah. Michael, what about you?
Yeah, I have no alternative. Like,
this is your job.
Yeah, it's my job. I've been hurt before at work, so I'm disabled for a long time. My arm was shattered, you know, in a machine. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing I can, like, I'm all traumatized from the past accident. So I was like real exciting about this type of work. I'm like, now I can, you know, I don't have to lift thing off or be stressful about it. You know, now I can do something for my family. But it doesn't work, you know, and I have no choice.
Is it your full-time job still?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a full-time.
Is that what about you?
Yes, I work in a full time, but like I never get paid enough, to be honest. But I have to keep struggling to survive for my family. I have three boys, three kids, and my wife, so I got looking for survive for them.
I want to talk about the flexibility part. Like, I think you all have kind of touched on this. I could, you know, I could get up, I could drive the low traffic times, or I could do the night shift or whatever. And Michael, you wrote this op-ed for the Colorado Sun, and you said, quote, "The companies control virtually everything about my work, including how, where, and when I pick up rides." How does the company do that? What does that mean?
That's an algorithm they use against us. They can show you the amount of money you're going to get, and then you're not allowed to deny it. You know, it's like showing somebody freedom, and then you say, oh, you're not free, really, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of things could happen. It could be dangerous sometime. You can be abused, you know.
Yeah.
And lip won't take, they won't do proper investigation. They only take a side, which is a rider's side. Mm. That's a part of the problem too. You know, people intend to get their money back, and then they will say, "Well, this guy was a drunk driver," you know. Then Lyft will give them money back, and then they go after you, and kick you out on the platform. And you bought the car to do that type of work. Where are you gonna go?
Yeah,
you're on the street.
This episode is brought to you by the Museum of Outdoor Arts. Because on Sunday, April 28th, the museum is hosting La Primavera Festival, a celebration of spring, to kick off event season at Marjorie Park. La Primavera Festival is a family-friendly event inspired in part by the Gaelic Bealtaine celebration and European May Day marking the beginning of summer. And the star of the show is really something special. They're premiering the latest permanent installation by local artist Lonnie Hansen. It's called The Cabinet of Curiosities and Impossibilities. Hansen describes it as an enchanting homage to English curio shops, featuring a collection of relics from fairy tales and nursery rhymes that tell stories about early optics, geometry, magical tools, celestial wonders, and more. The festival includes a pancake brunch, live Celtic music, maypole dancing, flower crown and basket making, yard games, and a bar for adult beverages. Tickets are available now at moaonline.org. That's moaonline.org.
So you've talked about this change where you can't decide when you work and you can't decide which or rides you can take. What is that? What's going on there?
I think the way how they play it now, it's different. So, for example, the high demand, it's going to be like at the rush hour. Sometimes I don't want to like work at the rush hour, you know? So it's going to be high demand. You're going to pick one or two like riders, that's all. That's how they play it, you know? So before, like you can start like working in the morning, you can get good rides, right? But now you can't find any good rides because there is no demand. Because most of the time when we make money, when it's get like demand, that's when you make like good money. Especially now, like from like, I'm talking about like from 3 months and now. Like from 3 months in the past until now, it's not like we don't have like any demands at all. Even at the airports, did they show you there's a demand there? So you can just, you know, surge, you know, you expecting like a good rides. It's still nothing.
What do you think has changed? Is this an algorithm problem, or are there not as many people requesting rides? I'm confused as to what's changed.
Yeah, it's kind of a mysterious way they do it. So they let you, you know, they're trying to make the problem is like with the rider and the driver. Because most of the time, the rider think that most of the money goes to you, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, now my riders ask me if I'm getting the whole tip or they take some of it. They're trying to make sure that we get in the tip. That's for example, you know, but I always talk to my riders and I tell them the truth. They taking 60%. So we taking 30, maybe 40 if we got that, because they still charging, you know, more charges, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I feel like people now got like more knowledge. I'm talking about the riders,
sure.
You know? Yeah. And they, you know, they get upset with this company. We're trying to, you know, let people like know that we're really suffering, you know, because they can't say, like, see how much we making, you know? They just show them like how much they charge them. And then if they charge them $100, the riders will be like, oh, are you taking 80, 90? No. We're taking at least like $16-$17 and most of the money go to the Uber company, you know? So yeah, it's frustrating, to be honest.
So that actually brings me to this new gig work transparency bill that legislators are working on, I think, because you all have been vocal about these issues. And it would require the companies to show drivers how much, it sounds like you guys know how much you make on each ride, but the transparency would also allow you to know why you've been deactivated or know why your rating has gone down.
Yeah, right.
Is that helpful to you? What
we would like to be access to the whole, you know, fare, because if you throw me a number, tell me how did you get that number? You know, you cannot just show me a number and I don't know how you get that number. That's a problem too.
So the transparency, it sounds like, is the app might charge the customer $80 for a ride to the airport.
Right.
You don't see that.
No.
You don't know.
We used to, like before, we used to see the whole thing, like receipt after like we dropping off. So we see how much like the fare was and then how much Uber like take and how much we making. But after they done this like 3 months ago, we don't see anything. We just see the amount that we are taking, either if it's traffic or more miles, just because sometimes the rider said like, oh, can I pick up my, like change my address? So they change the address, but it's like for a couple dollars. Sometimes they need to go like 5-6 miles more. And they charge them like, they charge them more because I'm talking to my riders and they know everything. So I like to share, you know? So they charge them like $10 more and they give you $1 for that change.
Sometimes too.
Yeah. And sometimes they're not giving you anything.
Further.
Yeah.
Okay. And they recently changed this where all of a sudden you can't see that information.
No.
So maybe it sounds like this bill that they're working on in the legislature might help you. You just want access to information, right? Yeah. It sounds like.
Yeah, and also we want fairness. The company has, we have to trust the company, you know? Even if you have a lot of employees and they don't trust you, it's not a good, you know, it's kind of work condition. So we would like to trust what we do, you know, and like it. People should like their jobs, you know? Right. And especially when you're a partner, you know, you don't dishonor your partner. Because we signed contract with them, they should treat us equally with the riders. You know, there's nothing special about somebody rather than fairness. It's a business.
Sure. So Uber and Lyft are these huge companies, but they're still struggling to turn a profit. Is there any part of you that worries that regulations like could put them out of business and put you out of a job?
Not necessary. I mean, they should be honest about the whole thing. Come on the table, talk to us, you know, so we can have some sort of hope, you know, like, oh, this issue is going to be solved, you know. But Uber don't want a conversation. They view that algorithm like a scam. We feel like we work for a scam company, you know. And it's not a good way to, you know, to deal with somebody who gave you a lot. Because without us, it won't be Uber, you know.
So I want to close with something that you all would like to share with riders, people like me who ride Uber and Lyft. What can we do to support our drivers? How can we help you?
We just wanted to ask you ever, you know, a person in the community. You guys are part of our community. So please just be aware of, you know, what's going on and support our movement. You know, it will make Denver a great city. It will make it a better place for life.
Yeah, I will say, guys, keep requesting. We got your back. And we're going to fight this company until we get like our, you know, fare back like before. Yeah. But keep requesting. We got you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
For what it's worth, when The Guardian first reported on the survey showing an average driver's pay in Denver was only $5.49 per hour, they checked in with Uber and DoorDash. An Uber spokesperson said that the company's internal data showed median driver earnings at more than $37 per hour of time spent engaged on the platform. And here's what else Denverites are talking about. Union busting at Starbucks. A local judge recently ruled that Starbucks illegally interfered with organizing efforts at the store on Colfax in Milwaukee, which included firing an employee in retaliation. The coffee corporation has been ordered to reinstate the terminated barista, provide back pay, and post signs at the location informing customers of the situation. I'll drop a link in the show notes to our past conversation with two local Starbucks baristas about why they chose to unionize. And finally, after weeks of complaints about high energy bills, Governor Jared Polis announced on Monday that he has taken a, quote, all-hands-on-deck approach to giving people some relief. According to the Denver Post, he's looking for money to help make homes more energy efficient, increase oversight on gas utilities, and prioritize the conversion away from natural gas. Meanwhile, several fossil fuel organizations joined with XL Energy Colorado to pledge $1 million to support programs assisting people struggling to pay their utility bills. These announcements come 2 weeks after XL Energy reported a whopping $1.7 billion in profits in 2022. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell your Uber driver about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter, Hey Denver, by texting Denver to 66866. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye-bye.
God, Paul, I had a... Just for, I'm thinking about the gas stoves conversation, and I realized something you can't do on an electric stove. Toast a tortilla. Like, you gotta do it over an open flame. I was doing it last night, and I was like, man, how am I gonna do this? I don't know about that electrification. My son's lungs, whatever. I gotta get this tortilla hot. Okay. No, I figured it out. You could just put it in a pan, but... You're like, yeah, Brie, that's what everybody else does. Duh. Okay.